Okay, let's begin. We are on Ches and Mabez. We just had the two stories of the Amoram whose face was shining, and they said it was because of their learning. I just want Ha'ara on that. We're starting four lines from the bottom. Amr of Chanin. So in the Biuri Hadaf, Hashem the Zichron Eliezer. There were other Gemaras, we've had some of them, but there's another Gemara in Nedarim where Rabbi Yehuda was asked the same question, why is your face shining? And he said it's because sheish lo chaf dalav beis hakisei mi beis lo beis hamedrash. That are a lot of places to relieve himself near where he is. So chaf dalav beis hakisei, and that's what makes a person shine, because he feels good and he's shining in that way. So how do you put that together with this Gemara that says a face shines because of Talmud Torah? So again, you might say it's two different people. But there are other Gersos here, who this person is, that whose face was shining. So assuming, let's say it was the same person, or even if not, we want to put together the two Gemaras, he explains, I'll be the Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim says, Hashomer atzmo milaharher b'divrei Torah b'mekomos hametunafim. If somebody is very careful not to think about Torah in places where they're not supposed to think about Torah, in the bathroom or in a makom metunaf, scharo shemagalon lo chidushi araisa. He will get the reward of that because he holds himself back from thinking of Torah in the improper places. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him schar to give him extra Torah, give him special secrets of Torah when he's allowed to think about places. So it suggests to Zichron Eliezer that really both Gemaras are saying the same thing. The face was shining because of all the bathrooms next to his house. That it doesn't just mean the bathroom per se. It means that he had the schus of going into the bathroom and not thinking about Torah in those bathrooms because that's that he realizes the Kedusha of Torah doesn't think about it. So because of that, he was zochet to get extra Talmud Torah. To get extra Talmud Torah, which makes his face shine. So that's how you put the two Gemaras together. The Gemara here about that his face was shining, he says it fits in. He got that as a schar because of what he did in the other Gemara. That the Zichron Eliezer quotes at the end, Shebadak atzmo v'dafka v'amad b'nisayon shelo lahar b'divrei Torah b'beis hakisei v'zocha ayideze l'chidushei Torah v'mizem me'ir panav. He says he tried it and he was zochet. And this is a makar for not forcing, we have to force, I get it. Somebody's learning right before they go to the bathroom, one has to be careful, not think about the very Torah in the bathroom. That's an important point. We should make sure that our mind is always so full of Torah that it's hard for us. But we have to stop ourselves from thinking of Torah in improper places. Okay, four lines to the bottom. Amar Rav Chanan. Luga de Oraisa, we're still talking about Shiurim, as we were yesterday about the Dalet Kosos. Luga de Oraisa, the Lug of the Torah, right? Revius Halug, the Lug, Temunsa Atika de Murius of the Sipori, is a old Temunsa, it's a type of measurement, old Temunsa, or it means an eighth, one of the two, Temunsa Atika de Murius of the Sipori, is the old type of measurement they used to measure fish in Sipori. That's what a lug of the Torah is. Amr Reb Yonah, the Chachman Allah, and I remember the base Reb Yonah have a mechilum badvash. The house of Reb Yonah used to use that measurement to measure honey. Tani, chatzi shminis tavranis, the half of a shminis, that's a type of coin from Tveria, Hayashana. That's what it is. It's the half of the Tveria, the old Tveria coin. Amr Reb Yochanan, hadein didanu. That's exactly what we use. We use those that measurement. So v'loba kari le'atika min begain dehavi biyome. So why are they calling it old? Why did the Raisa call it an old coin, the old Tverian shminis, if they used it bisman Rabbi Yochanan? So why is it? Why does the Braisa call it old? So is the amre the havas ira v'ravsa? Some say it was small and it got bigger. The is the amre the azira v'lo azira kibat the havas. Some say it was smaller, but it wasn't as small as it used to be. Either way, the point of the answer is that bisman ha-Braisa, it was smaller. So when the Braisa made the statement of how much the log is, it was smaller than they didn't use that amount. That it said in the Torah. So that's why he called it an old one. Later on, when Rabbi Yochanan came along in his time, so then it was already back at the value of the old coin. That's why he says we use it, but he didn't call it old. But it was called old in the Braisa because Bizman HaBraisa. So that's when they did it. That was not the common currency, and at that time they could characterize it as old. Okay, Kamu Shir Shakos. How large is the volume of a coast that we have been talking about? Rabbi Yossi, b'shem Rabbi Yossi ben Pazi, Rabbi Yossi bar Bibi, b'shem Rabbi Shmuel, etzba'ayim al etzba'ayim, al rom, etzba u'mechza u'shlish etzba. Shmuel says it's two by two fingers, that's let's say you have a square cup. So it's 2 by 2 with a height of 1.83, right? Because it's 1.5 plus a shlish etzba. So it's plus another 0.33. So it's a 1.83 etzbos. The Rishonim try to figure out how this connects to the shear we had in Maseches Pesachim, which was a little different shear. Right? It's all part of the issue of shiurim and how large things are bezman hazeh. The tzlach that we had, that we mentioned before at the end of Maseches Pesachim, which talks about niskatnu ashiurim, the shiurim are smaller today, our eggs are smaller, that's why all shiurim have to be bigger. That's the issue of the tzlach and the chazon ish. This Gemara partially relates to it. How large is a kos? Tani yabesh kizayis divrei Reb Nasan. We had yesterday the shiurim for wine. So now we're talking about yabesh. Yabesh here means congealed wine. Yabesh, dry wine. How much dry wine must one carry out on Shabbos? So yesterday we had how much wine? A quarter of a revius. That's what we held. So we're going to see, this is going to be a different shita. How much congealed wine? Yavesh kizayis divrei Reb Nasan. A kizayis solid, the Gemara assumes, is a revius liquid. So if you have a kizayis of wine that is congealed, that'll translate into a revius of wine. Rabbanan tekesari, Reb Yossi, Barbibi, v'shem Shmuel, Asya, Reb Nasan, Reb Shimon. This shita of Reb Nasan, who said that you need a kizayis, must be going like Reb Shimon, k'mad Reb Shimon, amar berevius. Because Reb Shimon says you need a whole revius of wine in the liquid form, so that's why that translates into a whole kizayis in the solid form. Yesterday we didn't hold like that. Yesterday we held a revius is how large the whole cup is. But how much wine do you have to carry out? A quarter of that. Because it's always one wine to three water in order to make it diluted. So it's 1 to 3. So here, the fact that he says a kizayis is needed in its congealed form, so that means a revius is needed in its liquid form, and that's more, that's like Reb Shimon, who says that you need a revius of wine. Kain umber abnasan berevius lekishiyikrash viyebo kizayis. So as Reb Nasan says, you'll have a revius when it is congealed, viyebo kizayis, and then you'll get a revius of what is liquid, lekishiyikrash viyebo kizayis. So when it's congealed, so then it turns into a kizayis. Okay, congealed and liquid comes up in many, here it's coming up in terms of the shiurim, but it comes up on Shabbos, davar yavish, davar gush, davar yavish, davar lach, you know, how do you define something that is dry? How do you define something that is liquid? It's very important for Hilchos Shabbos, for Ein Bishul Acher Bishul, because we paskin that Ein Bishul Acher Bishul b'davar yavish, by dry foods, there is no Bishul Daraisa once something is fully cooked. Mashayke by davar lach, we paskin Ashkenazim, Yish Bishul Acher Bishul b'lach, if it's nistanin legamrei. The Ramah says, if it's totally cooled off, you do have to worry about Bishul Acher Bishul, if it's liquid. The question is, how do you define liquid? How do you define Yavish, for example? Let's say you have something that got congealed in the fridge, or congealed in room temperature, but it's going to become liquid when you heat it up. So is that lach? Is that yavish? You have some type of gravy that's congealed, but you know it's gonna get liquid. So is that yavish? Is that lach? So many posts can say you go by the present temperature. So machlokas are achronim, but many assume that you go by the present state and you go by room temperature. So by room temperature, if it's yavish, so then even if it's going to become liquefy when it's heated, that's still considered davar yavish regarding a Hilchos Shabbos. So here we're talking about it, Hilchos Shiurim for Shabbos as well. But again, every halakha context, you have to define it in the way that needs to be defined. Fine. Rav Simon b'shem Rav Shua ben Levi. So now Rav Simon quotes Rav Shua ben Levi, another halakha where we'll see yavish lach come into play. Maisa b'perdas sherebi shemesa. There was a mule of the house of Rebbe that died. So it was an avela. We know the basar of an avela is metame. The meat of an avela is metame. But what about the blood of an avela? So that is, the Tikkun Katan here quotes, a machlokes tanoim, whether the blood of a behemoth is metame like nevela. Nevela, the basar is metame. What about the blood? Says the so there was a story about the mule in the house of Rebbe that died. Vitiro is dama mishu nevela, and they were matire the blood. They said there's no problem with the blood. The question is, why wasn't there a problem with the blood? They weren't sure. But what was the svara? Why were they were matire? Vishal Rebbe Eliezer asked Rebbe Simon ad kama. Rebbe Eliezer asked Rebbe Simon how much blood was there. In other words, he wasn't sure whether they were matire the dam because they say dam nevela is totally tahar. Or really, do we say that Dam Nevela is Tameh, but there just wasn't enough shear to be Metameh? That was the question. How much dam was there? That's why he asked ad kama. And the answer he was expecting was, if there was a lot, then he would know that the reason they were metaher was because dam nevela is never tahar, never tameh. Mashiach, if there was a small amount, then he would know the reason is because there was not enough of a shear. So that was his question to Rav Simon, ad kama. V'lo ashkich mei. Rav Simon didn't answer him. Unclear in the Gemara, some Bali Darshanim tried to give answers. Why didn't he answer him? But for some reason, he didn't answer him when he answered this question about how much blood was there. V'shol Rav Shubin Levi, and then he answered Shubin Levi, v'amr lei ad revius tahar, yosem revius tamei. Here there was less than a revius. It was less than a revius, and that's why it was tahar. And that's why, but yosem revius would be tamei. So this is the parallel to the congealed Gemara, because a kizayis of nevela is what is tamei, so too that's why a revius of dam is what is tamei, because the revius and kizayis have the connection. So that's what Rav Shimon Levi answered Rav Simon and said that it was too small of a shear, but really meikar hadin, the dam, if it had the shear, would have been metamei. Uvash l'Rebbe Lazar aldo chazal le'Rav Simon shmuasa, and Rebbe Lazar was upset. And Rav Simon, who didn't answer him, he didn't know why he didn't answer him. For some reason, he didn't answer him, and he was upset about it. Period. Rav Bibi, Havi Yosef Masni Bahadin Uvda, Rav Bibi said over this story in a little different way. Amar Le Rav Yitzchak Bar Kahana Ad Rav Yistar Yosef Mikad Tamei. Rav Yitzchak asked it as a question. He said, did the base Rebbe metahir this blood because it was less than a revius? Is that the correct answer? And really, fundamentally, dam nevela is tamei uba'atme. And they shoot him away. They said, what kind of question are you asking? Amar Le Rav Zirikra, begin to shaw alacha ad ba'atme. Because he asked the kasha, you're getting upset at him? What's the problem? So Amalei, begin to lo haviz daiti bay ba'itzna bay. Rav Kahana says, no, I didn't know what was going on. I was a little out of it for a minute. That's why I didn't answer him and I got upset. The Tikkun Chazan says, shlo haisa daiti miyushevas. I wasn't all there at that moment. That's why I got upset. Why? Where was he? What was he thinking? This is an Amora we're talking about. Damar Rav Chanan, because Rav Chanan says the following, based on the pasuk in the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo, V'hayu chayecha tluim l'chami neged. Your life will be hanging in front of you in the balance. Tluim l'chami neged. Who's that referring to? Zesha lokeach chitim l'shana. These are people who buy enough wheat for the year. In other words, they only know where their panasa is coming from that year. They don't know where it's coming from next year. Who knows if they're going to get wheat? They don't have any investments. So that's why they're worried. They have a lot on their mind. They don't know where their panasa is going to come from next year. So that's what the pasuk is referring to, that your life is hanging in front of you in the balance. Ufa chadata lailo v'yomam, the next part of the pasuk, you shall be scared night and day. Ze halokeach min hasedek. This is somebody who buys from Sedek or the Tsiyuki. The Tikkun Chatan explains you buy from the factory, meaning you have ma'at ma'at mehamocher tzvua, meaning you buy for a couple days. You don't have the year, is that the first category, but you have for a couple days. Again, there you're a little more worried. There you don't know where you're going to have food from next week. So that's why ufachat alayl of yomam, day and night you're worried. And then finally, below tam and b'chayecha, you're not going to believe in your life, you're not going to know what's going to be. So zeh lokeach min apaltar. That's somebody who buys from the bakery. Buys from the bakery every day. So if you buy from the bakery every day, you don't know where you're going to get baked goods from the next day. So that's somebody who really has issues with his parnasa, and they have a lot on their mind, and that's what's being referred to in the pasuk. And so says Rav Kahana, vi anasa mikra apaltar, and that's me. I'm in the last category. So that's why when he asked the question, I wasn't with it exactly. I had a lot of worries, a lot of parnassa issues on my mind. So that is why I didn't answer him properly. Period. There is a tshuva for the Mishnah Halachas from Menashe Klein, where he discusses from the tshuvas Or Letzion. The Or Letzion defends the minhag of many who buy baked goods for Shabbos from bakeries. Sha'anu mashakaz lami sanigoria al mashanogos anashim she'in an ofos l'kavet Shabbos l'alokos min ofet. Right, to be defend the minhag of women, the minhag of anybody to buy from the bakery. If you look in our Gemara, it sounds like it's part of the curse. Part of the curse of those halokeach min apalter. So again, it seems the pashas is that it's being used in a different context. But anyway, the Achronim discuss how is it that we do this if, you know, this is mentioned in the Gemara, Halokech Manah Palter is based on this pasuk in the Tochacha. He says, De'ein zeh b'chisaren shematinos kavet Shabbos. They're not doing this to lessen kavet Shabbos, which would be a bad thing. Kivet shebizmanenu ofen b'mafios chalos miyuchados l'kavet Shabbos. No, in our bakeries, they don't have to make things l'kavet Shabbos. So that's why one doesn't have to worry, doesn't have to be makbid about this issue. The Mishnah Halachas doesn't really accept that answer. He thinks that you should do it yourself. You're osi b'mitzvah stvei, and he quotes this Gemara to say v'mantsa Torah k'nias pas ben apalta min aklalos v'adai eno mehudar likach l'mitzvah midavar zeh v'koshke l'lechem chalos Shabbos. It's interesting. Some poskim are against buying the challahs from the bakery because, you know, you're being, because of this Gemara. If you look at the Ramah, it's based on a Ramah in the beginning of Hilchos Shabbos. The Ramah has been Reish Mem Beis, says, Nohagim lalush kedei shir challah b'bayis lasos mehen lechamim lefsoa lehem b'Shabbos v'yontif. The Ramah quotes the minhag of baking challahs. Again, a special schus of women can bake challahs for Shabbos. And the Bir Halacha quotes, amazingly, U'bavonoseinu harabim, right, the Chafetz Chaim, Hayom hischilu eze nashim lahashbis haminhag hahi, to bake at home. The lochin min haofe, the lav shaper avdi, the matinim bazek kavet Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah is against it. Again, a later achronim, after the Mishnah Berurah, say, you know, if they're doing it l'shem, if they don't have time, and if they bake it and it tastes better and it tastes wonderful and they make special zamek chalas for, you know, they, you know, so then there's not being mocked on the kavet Shabbos. You're getting the best chalas you can buy. By the way, it's an interesting discussion based on this pasuk of Votam and Bachayecha of Zehalokech Menapalter. But again, the context of the Gemara is specifically somebody who doesn't, he buys from the bakery because he doesn't know where tomorrow's foods are going to come from. That's not buying from the bakery. Buying from the bakery, it doesn't seem like the Pasha's, the Gemara has nothing to do with that. Again, some poskim relate it to this line of the Gemara. Umahu Kadon, continuing. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha about Dam Nevela? Is Dam Nevela totally tahar, or is it tame, but you just require the shear? Hey, Yeshua ben Pesora, Adam Nevela Shehutar. So if Yeshua ben Pesora was made, rather from a mission in Idias, because Idias is all about different halachas that they gave testimony about, so he was made on Adam Nevela that it was Tahar. So you see that it's totally Tahar, it's not Tahar at all. Says the Gemara, no, maybe that means Mahu Tahar, Tahar Mila Hachshir, Avalatamos Betameh. Maybe all it means is that it's not Machshir. The word Tahar here doesn't mean pure, it just means it doesn't make anything else tame. As we've had before, that all foods, all vegetables, all fruit, before they can become tame, they have to be hukshar l'kabel tuma. Liquid has to come upon them after it's detached from the grounds, A, and B, it has to be l'ratzon of a person. It has to be that the person wants the liquid to come there. One of the seven halakhic liquids has to come in contact with it. Yad shach adam, yayin dvash, shemen, chalav, tau, dam, and yad shach adam, and then the last one is dam and what am I up to? And mayim, right? Yad shach adam. So those seven liquids are machshir l'kabel tuma. So maybe that's the chiddush here, that dam of nevela is not machshir, but it's still matame itself. So Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Why? Tamatanin, because we learned in a Mishnah in Machshirin, Zdam Hasharetz Kibisaro Mitame Ve'eno Machshir Ve'ein Lanu Kayotzebo. End of the Mishnah. Dam, blood of a sheret, is like its basar, and it's metame, and it's not machshir. And there's nothing like dam of a sheret. And the Gemara assumes, what does that mean? There's nothing like the dam of a sheret. There's nothing like the dam of a sheret. The dam of a sheret is metame like its basar. So maybe that's mashma. The dam of nevela is not metame like its basar. So maybe that's what it means, that it's that dam nevela is totally tar. So you can't say that the previous Mishnah, Reb Shua ben Besar, meant it means only tar mila hachshir. So the Gemara answers, no, maybe when the Mishnah in there says there's nothing like Dama Vesheretz, it doesn't mean there's nothing like Dama Vesheretz, that Dama Vesheretz is Metame and nothing else. But it means, Shir Tum Aso, Shedamo Metame Kibsaro. It means the Dama Vesheretz is unique in that the Dam and the Basar Vesheretz have the exact same Shir. Mashenki, the Dama of an Avela, can be Metame, but it would have, it does have a different Shir than its Basar. Okay, four more lines to this. Amar of Yossi. Pligi batrein amarayim, really it's a machlokas amarayim, whether dam of a nevela is metame. Chad amar tame v'chad amar tar, manda amar tame k'Reb Yehuda, the one who says tame, that is the shita of Reb Yehuda, umanda amar tar k'Reb Yehuda b'Pesora, the one who says tar is Reb Yehuda b'Pesora, like we had in the Mishnah. The Reb Yehuda b'Pesora said it was tar. Amar le Rav Avdoma d'bin Nechusa v'Yaus. I agree with this, that Reb Yehuda is the one that says tame, And Rabbi Yeshua is the one that says Tahar. Why? Rabbi Yehuda Moraina de Beinasiyahave. Rabbi Yehuda was the posek of the Beinas, of the house of the Nasi. Therefore what? Earlier on the page we had that it was the original mule. How did we get into this whole discussion? The Pirdas Rebbe, the mule of Rebbe, which had died, and the psak was it didn't have enough of a shear. So the house of Rebbe is the Beinasi. The Rebbe was the head of the charge of the Nasi's house. So there you see that if there would have been enough of a shear, it would have been Tamei. So that's why the last line is that it makes sense that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says Tamei, because he was the posek of the house of Rebbe. And the story before was assuming that it would be Tamei if you had the requisite shear. Okay, what were the last 15 lines talking about? Just to get back on track, it was just a question of Dam of an Avela. Is Dam Nevela Tamei, Mitamei, or Tahar? That's a Basar of an Avela is Mitamei. What about the Dam of an Avela? Is it Mitamei or not? That was the Machlokes and the discussion in the Gemara, and we got into this from the fact that earlier we were talking about different Shiurim of Yayin, of congealed wine, etc. That's how this whole Gemara came up. Okay, now we're back to the next discussion that we had in our Mishnah, and that is we had yesterday that when the Kohen went into the place where the treasury house was to get the Shkalim, so he had to act in a way that was above and beyond any shadow of a doubt in people's minds. He couldn't wear anything with pockets, he couldn't wear anything with hems, he couldn't wear shoes or sandals or tefillin or anywhere where he had anything to hide, he wouldn't be able to do that because he had to keep above and beyond people's choshed him that he was he would become rich, he would become poor, like we had yesterday. Tari divei Yishmael. Kavatz lo yitro mi bnei achshad. What's a kavatz? A kavatz should not be torim because people are going to think of him that they're going to be choshed him. So one pshat, most of the parshim say kavatz means somebody who has long hair. Taltalim, right? Kvutzos kitzvosav taltalim. So kvutz kavatz is somebody who has long hair because we'll go choshed that he's putting shkolim in his hair somewhere. So that's why so a Kohen who has long hair is not allowed to be Torah Mipadechshad. Even though the Gemara's talk about how Kohenim have to get haircuts at a certain amount of every so often. But if somebody has the long hair, that people will be Choshed, so that he's not allowed to do it. The Rambam is a different shot. The Rambam says Kavatz is you switch around the Vase and the Vav. Like Kovate, somebody who gathers, somebody who collects. I mean somebody who is poor and wants to collect money, so we don't use somebody who has a need, who's greedy, who has a need, because we're worried that he's going to take some money. Tani? What about a long beard? Right? So there's a Shaila. Does this just mean long hair or long beard? Does it mean both? So I'm not sure. It's a mucker for having short beards. I don't think it's a mucker for not having a beard, but at least it's a mucker for... it's unclear whether this means long or the hair on the head or a hair on the chin. Tani, ha gizbarin ha yimafasmasin bakilkalin, the gizbarin, the gabbais in the Beis HaMikdash used to go through the strands of cloth that used to hang down from the robes that the Kohen wore to make sure there was nothing hiding in there. Again, they went above and beyond to make sure there was no doubt in anybody's mind that this guy might have taken any money. Tani, midabrin hayu imo mishashu nichnas achashu hu yotzei. The Kohanim outside used to talk to the guy who went in constantly. They wouldn't let him have a moment of silence. They would, how's it going in there? Everything okay? They used to talk to him the entire time. Why? So that he wouldn't be able to put any in his mouth. He wouldn't be able to put any in his mouth. That's why he used to talk to him the whole time, so that he wouldn't be able to put any in his mouth. Ask the Gemara, V'yamali pume mavui. So why don't you just fill his mouth with water? Why don't you just make him go in like, so he wouldn't be able to put anything in his mouth? Fill his mouth, well, you have to talk to him the whole time. You have to be outside, so fill his mouth with water. And in that way, he won't be able to put anything in the water, in his mouth. Amrif tanchuma mipnei habracha. No, you can't make him fill his mouth beforehand because of the bracha. What does that mean? Mipnei habracha. So this is the truth of the Chacham Tzvi. What does it mean, mipnei habracha? Kuf chaf aleph. He quotes the Yerushalmi and Shkalim. What does this mean? He quotes the Pirush in the Yifei Mare, Shema Yivla Mehamai, and the problem is he might swallow some of the water as he's inside. Or sometimes when we're gargling, we have sometimes some of it goes down. So you might swallow the water, Vinimsa Shema'al, Shenehana Below Bracha. Because you didn't make a Shahako. Right? So you'll have water in your mouth, it'll be full, and some of it might go down. That's the problem. That's why you can't fill his mouth with water. It says the Chacham Tzvi Anitama. What's the problem? So tell him to make a bracha before he goes in. Shari Efshar lo levar tchila al davar acher v'lechaven al mayim sheyivla. What's the problem? Make a bracha on a cup of soda before you go in, and have in mind the water you're going to put in your mouth. Number one, va'od, and also we learned in a Mishnah in Brachas, hashosem mayin litzma'o mevar shahakol. Only if you drink water because you're thirsty, you drink shahakol. Let's say you drink water for medicinal purposes. Let's say you drink a drop of water to help a pill go down. There's no bracha there. If you're drinking something not because you're thirsty, not because you're trying to quench, you know, your thirst, you don't make a bracha. If you're drinking a little extra, you're worried that you might drink a little extra water just to make sure the pill goes down. Might be a little extra. So then you have to make a bracha beforehand. But if it's mamish just for a different purpose, there's no bracha. It's just the Chacham Tzvi. So if the only purpose you're drinking the water is not because you're thirsty, but because you're doing this so people don't think you put money in your mouth, so you wouldn't need a bracha either. So the Chacham Tzvi does not think it's talking about, if you go to the Gemara that says if you're choking, you don't need a bracha when you drink the water. So he thinks bracha here means the Birchas HaMitzvah. The Birchas HaMitzvah, that the Kohen, the Torah, who's taking the money, has got to make a myth. This is a mitzvah. To take away some of the takes out some of the shkalim. So because of that, that's what he thinks. If you have a mouth full, you can't say the bracha because it's oh yizimale schok pinu. We're not supposed to have anything in our mouth when we make a bracha. That's why that's going to be the problem. So that is what is being referred to here. Yeah. This was a mitzvah. Yeah. There was Bezek HaBayis, there was other treasuries. No, right, as I said, Dafke here, it seems like they were more worried here, first of all, because he went in alone. It wasn't just like a bunch of Kohanim, and he was in there for a little while. He had to fill up these three big kupos. By the other times, the Matzah Shekel, you know, by the other upkeep, by Bezek HaBayis, maybe it was a few Kohanim that went in, maybe they went in just for a little bit, and they got what they needed. Here, they had to fill up three big barrels that they were going to use for the next few months. He was in there for a long time. That's why some say, because he was alone, and because he was in there for a long time, that's why you had to take more precautions. Okay. So that's the issue of bracha. So two days, whether it's shahakol or berachas hamitzvah. Rav Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rav Yonah son b'torah b'deviyamu b'ksuvim matzav shadam tzarach latzis zdeya brias k'derach shul tzarach latzis zdeya makom in Torah neviim and ksuvim. We find sources that a person has to go above and beyond in front of Hashem and in front of people. Right in the Torah, as it says, by B'nei Gad and B'nei Ruvain, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, you have to be clean from Hashem and from B'nei Yisrael, and that's why you have to come and fight with us. B'nevi'im minayin, what about a Nevi'im? D'chsiv, as it says, Kel Elokim Hashem v'chulu v'Yisrael hu yeda. Where's that, Pasuk? Yeshua Chav Gimel. Who's familiar then? The second to last parak in Yeshua. She was 24 parak. What's going on there? Everybody remember? After all the Chalukah, after they beat the 31 kings, and after the whole story takes place, so now this is also about by B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. But here everything's finished, so now they're heading back home. They're heading back to Eber HaYarden, to go back to the east side of the Jordan. So if you remember the story there, they're on their way back, and the Pasuk says, in Parak Chav Beis, Vayashuv Vayochu Bnei Ruben Bnei Gad Chatzis Menashe Beis Bnei Yisrael Mishilo Asher Beres Kanan. They go from Shilo and Eres Kanan. Olechas Alares Gila. They go back home and they build this big mizbeach. They build this big mizbeach on the west side of the Yarden. This big mizbeach. Their kavana was to have a remembrance that we're all part of the same nation. Even though we're going back to the east side of the Yardanes, they built the mizbeach so the future generations will remember that, you know, we're all on the same team. But the rest of Bnei Yisrael hear about this. They're building a mizbeach. What's going on here? They thought they're starting a new religion. They're building a mizbeach outside of Shiloh, where the Mishkan was. So that's why they sent Pinchas. They sent there's going to be a civil war there. They sent Pinchas. Find out what's going on. So they say, don't worry about it. What's the problem? We're with Hashem. Nothing. Don't be choshing us. That's what this passage is referring to. Hashem is one. And the Malbim there focuses on the psukim. He says, if you look at the psukim, it was obvious that you shouldn't have been choshing them. Number one, it says they went from Shiloh. They weren't in Shiloh. They were with Yeshua, sent them away. Yeshua lived in Timnath Serach. That's where Yeshua was buried. So it said they went from Shiloh. Obviously, they took leave of Shiloh, meaning they went to the Mishkan. Number one. Number two, it says they built this Mizbeach Lemare. Mizbeach Godol Lemare. It is huge Mizbeach. It's just for appearance. Didn't have any ramp on it. Didn't have any place to build sacrifice carbonus. So it was obvious from their actions. And where'd they build it? Which side of the Yarden did they build it? If they really were starting their own religion, they would have built it on the east side of the Yarden. Their own side. Yet they built it on the west side. They built it Be'eretz Kanan. The Malbim explains, if you look at everything they did, it was tried to try to be mosi themselves from Chashad. And people still messed up. The rest of Am Yisrael still didn't get the point. It shows you how powerful it is when people aren't down with kafschus and they don't think about the situation properly. But again, that is number two. That's the story of Nevi'im, which is being referred to here. So the first two, interestingly, are about Bnei Gadim and Bnei Ruvain. One's on the way in and one's on the way out. Third, B'ksuvim inayin, D'chsiv, Fazekaz Mishlei, U'matzachein v'seichal tov, Bnei Elokim v'adam. You have to find chain in both in the eyes of God and man. Gamliel Zuga Shaal Rabbi Yosi Bar Rabbi Bun, Ezeh HaMechuvah Shavakulan, which is the best pasuk? First, and point out how this is such an unusual question. Whenever you have sources for something, you always say, oh, you never ask which is the best one, but you have a few sources, so you get messages from each one.
So you're not supposed to say that?
You're not supposed to. Oh, right, so we had a Gemara earlier, right? You're not supposed to say that's a great vart, right? Because then you're saying, what, the other vart is not so great? But we said it's a discussion there between the Rosh Hashanah and the Marsha. Right, whether you're really allowed to say that. Sometimes you can say this is an amazing part. With Machlokas, whether you're allowed to say that. I was actually trying to find it last night. But so he asked, Ezeh HaMechuvah Shavakulan. So others say it means which is the clearest pasuk. Not which is the best, but which is the clearest one. So Amar Levi Yisim Nekiyam Eshem Yisrael. So says the Tikkun Chatan explains, maybe this is a Lashon Tzivui. That's why it's best. You shall be Naki. The other ones are just a remez. A remez that this is what should be done, but not dafka lashon sivud. But this pasuk is v'yisem, you should be, that's a lashon sivud. Okay. Vaiter, shall base Rabbi Gamliel, hayin nechnas, v'shaklu beines pa'osav. We referred to this earlier in the Masechta. The house of Rabbi Gamliel, they didn't just send in their shkalim. They wanted their shkalim to be used. So right before the Torah was about to go in, they went and they threw their shkalim towards the pile. V'shikla bein etzba'osav, their shekel was in between their fingers. V'zorka l'fnei ha'toreim, v'ha'toreim miskavin v'dachol l'toch ha'kupa. And the Torah saw that one on top, and he took that one with him because they wanted to go above and beyond, though they didn't have to do this, as we've said. But there was l'chachila to have their money used, so that's why they did it. Ein ha'toreim toreim ad shehu omer lahem etrom. The toreim is not toreim until he is told to be toreim. V'hein omerim lo terom 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 shalosh pa'amim. They tell him three times, be Torah, three times. We find in other halachas where something went to be mefarsim, to publicize something, we say it three times. Look in the Mishnayos and Menachos by the Ketziras HaOmer. Ketziras HaOmer, also there, that was done by Pumbi. Interestingly, if you remember what we said a few days ago, Ketziras HaOmer was dafka done in a very public way to go against the Tztukim, who said that Yimachros HaShabbos is dafka the day after Shabbos, so it was on a Sunday. So dafka that was done by Pumbi, and Kitzar, should I cut? The Ketziras HaOmer, the night after the first day of Pesach, that was also done, but Pumbi said three times. So here too, we had a pshat earlier that maybe this also was done, because they said, you're not Torah Delishka from everybody, it's really there, all the covenant of Seber come from the money of a Yachid. So dafka here, this also was done in a very public way. That's why you do it three times. Ma'ala Shekel is also related to threes based on that pasuk. Three containers, three sa'ah, three times a year, right? There are a lot of threes when it comes. Right, it says Shuma three times in the pasuk based on the other pasuk that says Shlishis HaShekel. There are a lot of threes when it comes to this whole story. Right, so this is another three that could relate. Taramas are showing us. So what happens? So they go into the treasury, they take a bunch, they fill up three kupos the first time. V'chita b'kad tavlios. Then they take a cloth and they cover up all the coins left in the treasury. So it's under this cloth. So they know which coins have already been nitram from. Then, Hashnia, V'chipa b'katavlios. They take a second time, then they cover up the rest again with the cloths. Hashlish is loy b'chapa. Once they take from the third time, they didn't cover, because what are you covering for? There's no third truma. V'loma hayim b'chapa. Why do you cover it up? Shem yishaf v'itram in adabar atarim. Because you might come and take b'torim from something that already was nitram already. And you really want to take from the new stuff, because you want everybody to get the schus that their stuff was nitram for. Again, even though we said earlier that when the person is toreim, the kohen has in mind everything that's gonna come, al ha'asid ligvos as well, but still, l'chadchilo, the mefarshim of the Mishnah say, everybody wants to have their shkalim mamish there when the truma takes place, so that's why we separate it so that we could use the new truma. Taramas are shown l'shem Eretz Yisrael. The first truma was done l'shem Eretz Yisrael, those who sent their shkalim in and it was close by. Vashniya l'shem krachan mukafin la. The second was from the cities that were close by. Vashlishis l'shem Babel u'l'shem Madai u'l'shem Medinos harechokos. From the faraway cities who wouldn't have their shkalim there in time. Shalbeis Rabbi Gamliel, the Gemara says, the Nazar Gamliel used to throw their shkalim in right beforehand. So ask the Gemara, ilu hayu shnei karayim. If If a person has two barrels and he's taking truma from one of them and he has in mind that truma should be good for both barrels, it's not truma. You have to take from every one. So what's Rabbi Gamliel doing? They had him in mind. So what does he have to make sure that his coins are used? What difference does it make? So the Gemara answers, no. The Gemara takes out the hay. Nachas ruachi. No, it just makes them feel good. Nachas ruach lulahem. Shelo yehei karban miskarev ela mishucha tchila. You're right, they didn't need to do it. But it was still a special kiyum. They know that their money is being used. So that's why it's a special kiyum. The Mikdash David quotes this to show that really maybe they're somewhat more of the bailim on the karban. If their money is used, even though it's really a carbon seaboard, but he quotes other rice to this as well, that they're the bialim, they're mamish the bialim on the carbon in a little stronger way if their money is used. But again, me'ikir hadin, this was not needed. Yeah. It means that they entered. The question is, where was this chamber? It wasn't in the place where Yisraelim were not allowed to go in. Right, it must have been in one of the outer offices where... Right, did he go in? Right, so Lechore said for Salaf here that he went in with him and he threw it in. Right, maybe he threw it in and then left. Before he, maybe he went in right beforehand, but you're right, if he was there with him, then, he didn't just give it to him. He had to throw it into the treasury house first, and then it was taken from there. Tani, Shammat said the Raisa Shammat Sakatav Leos, Nasakulan Shirayim. Two ways to learn this line. One is, Shammat Sakatav Leos, after this third truma, they took away the ketavlios, and then everything got the same status. It's all called shirayim leftovers, and they used it if they needed that year. Or the other shot is, let's say it by mistake got removed. So then everything again has the same status, and it becomes all shirayim. Tani, shlishes, hi haisa ashira shebekulan. The third truma that was sent in was the richest, the coins were the most valuable. Shehayu ba is terio shel zahav v'darkono shel zahav. Because remember, the third one came from faraway lands, so they had to put it into. They didn't want to schlep everything. They don't want to schlep so many coins, so they made it into more valuable coins, more gold coins. So that's why the third truma had the most valuable coins in that truma. Tani Taramas Arishon L'Shem Eretz Yisrael L'Shem Kol Yisrael. He went in the first time and took the truma L'Shem the Bnei Eretz Yisrael, but really L'Shem Kol Yisrael, because even the one that didn't come yet. Shni L'Shem Krakan Amukafin L'Shem Kol Yisrael. Shlishis L'Shem Bavel Umadai U'L'Shem Hamadinas Arachokos U'L'Shem Kol Yisrael. Right, that's what we said. So the coin always has in mind a specific group, but also all of Kol Yisrael. Tani, continuing the process. Natal Min Arishona. So remember now. So we have three kupos that were taken out, and as we learned yesterday, they had written on them 1, 2, 3, right? Either Aleph Beis Gimel or Alpha Beisa Gamma, either in Hebrew or Greek. So you take out from the first coupon, not the same Rishona, Alpha Pichi Ish Rishona, not the Shniya. But after you take out the first time from the first coupon, you don't finish the first coupon first. You go to the second coupon to give the second coupon a chance. Not the Shniya that you take from the second one, Alpha Pichi Ish Bishniya, not the Shlishis. And then even though you still have left of the second one, you take from the third one. Shoma, then you stick by the third one until it's finished. Shoma shlishis chozer l'shniya. Shoma shniya chozer l'rishona. Then you go backwards. Unclear exactly why that is, but this is the process that was done. Shomu shlashdan. If you finished all three of them and you still have time before the next truma, so what do? So chozer v'shogel. So you go take out from the, go back to the treasury, even though it's considered shirayim now, even though it's under the katavla that you put down. Still, you go take from the. I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. Chozer v'shogel, the way that Siklan Chatan explains this is that you go back to the treasury house and you take from the new shkalim that have come in since the last truma. Meaning at this time there's more shkalim on top of the cloth that you put there from the last time. So you use those new shkalim, even though you didn't do the official truma yet, you still could use those new shkalim. But you don't use from the under the cloth, because they're still left on top. And that argues with Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir Omer, no, Chozer l'shirayim. Rabbi Meir says, no, you go back and use what's under. Why? Shahay Rabbi Meir Omer. Rabbi Meir says, Moalim b'shirayim shemi yitztachul en basov. Rabbi Meir says, no, the shirayim never lose their status of machza shekel to be able to use for carbonous seber. They never lose that status, therefore you can go back to them. The new ones, wait for the next truma. So it's a machlokes, tanoim, which ones do you use when you run out? Period. Here we go. V'chein ha'yer Reb Pinchas ben Yair Omer. Reb Pinchas ben Yair says, this is quoted in Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf. It's quoted in other places. This is the famous line of Reb Pinchas ben Yair, which is the basis for the entire Sefer of Mesulas Yesharim. Mesulas Yesharim is structured based on different midos, and every mida leads to another mida. So, and they have the one or two chapters or three chapters about each mida. So that's from the Brisa in Avodah Zarah Daf Chaf of Pinchas Ben Yair, which is quoted a little bit here. Why is it quoted here? So Tikkun Chazan explains that two of the midos we have been talking about. Number one, Zrizus, that the Kohen had to be a Zariz in order to go get the Truma. And number two, Nikius, that he had to be clean from any Chshan. V'isem Nikiyam Yashem Ami Yisrael. That's why it's brought here. V'chein Ayer Pinchas Ben Yair Omer. He says, Zrizus may be Eldi Nikius. Zrizus leads to Nikiyah. So if anybody ever started learning Mesil Sisharim, you already know that it's different. Because the Mesil Sisharim, the Gemara Avodah Zarah has Zahirus as the first one. Zahirus leads to Zrizus. But that's skipped in this form. There's a little differences in the exact process. Zrizus, alacrity, brings to Nikiyus. Nikiyus, cleanliness. Nikiyus, spiritual cleanliness. Nikiyus, Mevila de Tahara. That goes to Tahara. Tahara, Mevila de Kedusha. Kedusha, Mevila de Anava. Humility, another mevila de yiraschet mevila de chasidus mevila de ruach hakodesh mevila de tchias hamesim. That's where the Mesil Sisharim once ends, but here there's an extra one, tchias hamesim mevila de Eliyahu zachur latov. So this is the discussion. This is the way it's formulated here. Again, the Mesil Sisharim, he writes at the beginning, he's not telling you any chidushim. This is what everybody knows, but what everybody knows, you have to chazer over and over again in order to ingrain it in ourselves, and this is something that has to be done. And then he goes on to explain every one of the, many yeshivas, they don't, right after Perek Yud Aleph or so, you get through Nikiyus, you know, you gotta go back to the beginning again. Because like everything is so lamaisa, you gotta to master it, but again, once in a while, once a life, you know, you gotta make sure to get through the whole entire Sefer, even though it's a very above and beyond what many of us are involved in. There's an interesting marsha on that Gemara Avodah Zarah where he says maybe there's an idea of this whole process is your daily routine. Zrizus is getting up in the morning. You have to be a Zaris to get up in the morning. And if you get up in the morning, that leads to Nikiyus. Because says the marsha that if you wake up late and you're rushing out to the shir and to shul, you're not going to do it until you're dying properly. You're not going to go to the bathroom properly. So you're not going to have proper Nikiyus. So if you're a Zaris and you get up in time, you listen to your first alarm clock. Right, so the first snooze. So then the Zrizus leads to Nikiyus, proper Nikiyus. Then Nikiyus leads to Tara. Tara is Taras Halev, that's referring to Tefillah. That's what you do in the morning. After you daven in the morning, you go Kedusha. Kedusha is when you go sit and learn after davening. Right, Kedusha. Number one, and you're Mekadesh yourself by learning. Then Kedusha may be a day Anava. After you learn, you go out to business. You have the proper mentality. You realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the Parnasa. So you have Anava. And then Anava leads to Yiras Chet after a whole day. And you acted properly, that leads to Yiras Chet. And he continues, Chasidus is when, I'm sorry, I skipped one. Kedusha, Tara leads to Kedusha. He says Kedusha is when you eat, because you're Mekadish yourself when you're involved in physical activities. And then Anava is being involved in business, etc. It continues until you have Tchias HaMesim is when overnight, when you get back the next morning. That's a little kind of Shemesh Nasatabi. So he goes through the whole process. Really, it's a daily routine. Now the Gemara quotes how Sukkim to prove this whole order. Zrizus may be the Dinikius Tachsiv. Vekila Michaper. The Kohen Gadol finished from being Michaper for Klal Yisrael. So Vekila, he finished. The Kohen Gadol did it with Zrizus. Kila is a remnant to Zrizus. Michaper from getting Kapara. Kapara is Nikias. Kapara is atoning and wiping away the spiritual dirt. Nikias may be the day Tara, Tachsiv. Vekiper Aleha HaKohen, which is a reference to Nikias. Vitahera. So you see Kapara and Tara. Tara may be the day Kedusha, Tachsiv. Vitiharo, Vikidisho. That's Tara and Kedusha. Kedusha may be the day Anava, Tachsiv. Go Amar Rambani saw Shochein Ad VeKadosh Shmo Marom VeKadosh Eshkan. That's referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is a Kadosh. And then it says VeStaku Shval Ruach. And then it says in the pasuk talking about somebody who's very low. That's Kedusha and Anava. Anava Mevila De Yiraschet Tchsiv Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem. Yiraschet Mevila De Chasidus Tchsiv VeChesed Hashem Me Olam VeAd Olam Al Yireyav. So that's Yiraschet leads to Chasidus because the Chesed of Hashem is on the ones who fear him. So the ones who fear him come first. Chasidus mevila de ruach hakodesh. Dechsiv oz dibarta b'chazon la chasidecha. You spoke in a vision to your chasidim. So chasidim comes first, leading to ruach hakodesh. Ruach hakodesh mevila de tchias hameisim. Dechsiv v'nasati ruach b'chem vich yisem. And then you shall live. And finally, tchias hameisim mevila de Eliyahu zachur latov. Dechsiv v'hine anochi shalech lechem es Eliyahu anavi. Lifno bo yom Hashem agadol v'hanorah. So what do you mean? Eliyahu, that part sounds like Eliyahu Navi comes first. Now the point, the answer is, the Mepharshim explained, the Tiklun Chatatin, that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring the Geula, wants to do Tchiyas HaMeisim. That really comes first. Because of that, he sends Eliyahu HaNavi earlier. But really, the Siba is the Tchiyas HaMeisim, and then the Mesovev is Eliyahu HaNavi coming. Tana b'shem Rabbi Meir, ko mi shekavua be'eretz Yisrael, u'medaber b'lashen HaKodesh, v'ochal peirosa v'tara, v'korei kriyash b'boker b'erev, anybody who's kavua in Eretz Yisrael. There's a machlokas. There's 2 days in the Magen Avraham and Hilcha Shabbos whether we get schar for Yishev Eretz Yisrael by visiting there. So you get a partial schar by walking. When the Gemara says, "Kol holik davar amos be'Eretz Yisrael," is that even if you don't live there? So it's 2 days in the Magen Avraham. So here it says kavua. Doesn't just say visits. Kavua be'Eretz Yisrael. Right, in Yonayim of Yom Yerushalayim. Kavu in Eretz Yisrael. Umedavir v'lash HaKodesh. And if somebody who speaks v'lash HaKodesh, v'ochal beres v'tara, and he eats his peros v'tara, and he reads Kriyash HaVavokar v'erev, and there's a lot of symbolism to all of these, yehe mevusar sheben olam habahu. He is a ben olam habah. So here's an interesting, and I'll end with this, there is a machlokas we've shown him. Why Lashon HaKodesh is called Lashon HaKodesh. Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why is Hebrew, what we call Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh? So if you look at the Ramban in Parshas Kisisa, where it says, says the Ramban, V'chein atam etzli, why is Polashon HaKodesh? Shuhum ebneisha divrei Torah v'hanevuos, v'chol divrei kedusha kulam b'lashon ahu nemru. You know what makes Lashon HaKodesh? Because Hashem speaks Lashon HaKodesh. Because the Nevi'im speak Lashon HaKodesh. V'hinei hu Lashon HaKodesh Baruch Hu Yiz'al Hashem medaber bo Nevi'ah v'mei daso. Anochi vo'yeh lecha. That was all in Lashon HaKodesh. Hashem spoke Lashon HaKodesh, so that's what gives it inherent to Kedusha. Then he quotes the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim. The Rambam Nevuchim says, no. You know why it's called Lashon HaKodesh? Because B'Lashon HaZeh lo yimtzu shemos le'ever ha'be'ila b'zachar o b'nekeva lo letipa u l'shesen u l'tzoa rak b'kinui. Because there's no, you know, bad words, unclean words in Lashon HaKodesh, right? Even when a husband and wife are together, bia means entrance. You know, that's there's no words that are and the Rambam would say, somebody would ask, let's say if somebody asks, modern Hebrew is not Lashon HaKodesh. Modern Hebrew, there's some words that wouldn't be in Lashon HaKodesh. The Rambam is saying Lashon HaKodesh is because, you know, there's nothing about it. We're Makadish. So I heard B'Shem Rav Lichtenstein one time that the Machlokas is Lashon HaKodesh because we're Makadish, because what we do, or because what Kodesh Baruch Hu does. That's the Machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban. But either way, Lashon HaKodesh is Machlokas. I don't remember why it's called that, but if somebody speaks Lashon HaKodesh, it's a great thing. Even the Rambam, at the beginning of the second parak in Pirkei Avos, where it says, Have a Zohir b'mitzvah kala kevachamura, mitzvah kala, says the Rambam, like what? Like speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Speaking of Lashon HaKodesh, it's a mitzvah kala. The Chassam Sofer quotes his Rebbe, Rav Nassim Adler, that on Shabbos, he always spoke Lashon HaKodesh. He didn't speak the vernacular on Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is a special day, he spoke Lashon HaKodesh. Something special about that. Okay, we'll stop here. Adulav Perak Shalosh Shafrakim. And we will continue. Teishia was Zechon Ishmas, Krimit Bas Yitzchak Moshe.
It's in Beis Rebbe. So why would they be quoted if it was a question of Shir? That's a standard thing.